All glories to Sri Guru Gauranga, Shri Prabhupada. Parvati Jai. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Reshi Madhavati Vadanti Swami Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shanyavani Pashyati Deshikari. So, today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 3rd chapter, text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shudvagrajams te yavadit Sureshvara sa te vataram purushahai samarpitam Shudvajunaiva visharati. I am Tvasabhyastava Janmana Brihe. Shudvagrajams te nyavadit Sureshvara. Te vataram purushai samarpitam. Shudva dunaiva visharat yudai udaha. Ayam tvasabhyastava janmana grihe. Yavadit Sureshvara Sate Vataram Purushai Samarpitam Shruva Dunayuva Visharat Yudai Uttaha. I am Tvasabhyastava Janmana Grihe. Shudvagrajams te nyavadit Sureshvara. Sate vataram purushai samarpitam. Shudvadunam dvai visharat yadayudaha.
Satya Vara Vrishya Samarpitam. Uncivilized. And Sura means civilized. Tava of your lordship. Janma, the birth.
Now, our.
Grihe, into the home. Shudva, after hearing. Agrajan, te, all the brothers born before you. Yavadet, killed. Surahishvara, O Lord of the Suras, the civilized persons. Saha, he, that uncivilized Kamsa. Te, your. Avataram, appearance. Purushai, by his lieutenants. Samarpitam, being informed of. Shudva, after hearing. Aduna, now. Eva, indeed. Abhisharate, will come immediately. Udayudaha, with raised weapons. Translation. O my Lord, Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that you would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kamsa killed so many of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with weapons. So purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kamsa has here been described as asabhya, meaning uncivilized or most heinous, because he killed the many children of his sister. When he heard the prophecy that he would be killed by her eighth son, this uncivilized man, Kamsa, was immediately ready to kill his innocent sister on the occasion of her marriage. An uncivilized man can do anything for the satisfaction of his senses. He can kill children. He can kill cows. He can kill brahmanas. He can kill old men. He has no mercy for anyone. According to the Vedic civilization, cows, women, children, old men, and brahmanas should be excused if they are at fault. But asuras, uncivilized men, do not care about that. At the present moment, the killing of cows and the killing of children is going on unrestrictedly. Here, Prabhupada is talking about abortion. And therefore, this civilization is not at all human. And those who are conducting this condemned civilization are uncivilized asuras. Such uncivilized men are not in favor of the Krishna consciousness movement. As public officers, they declare without hesitation that the chanting of the Hare Krishna movement is a nuisance. Although Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Satatam Kirtiyantam Amyadantas Chadridharataha. According to this verse, it is the duty of the Mahatmas to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and try to spread it all over the world to the best of their ability. Unfortunately, society is in such an uncivilized state that there are so-called Mahatmas who are prepared to kill cows and children and stop the Hare Krishna movement. Such uncivilized activities were actually demonstrated in opposition to the Hare Krishna movement's Bombay Center, Hare Krishna Land. As Kansa was not expected to kill the beautiful child of Devaki and Vasudeva, the uncivilized society, although unhappy about the advancement of the Krishna conscious movement, cannot be expected to stop it. Yet we must face many difficulties in many different ways. Although Krishna cannot be killed, Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, was trembling because in affection he thought that Krishna would immediately come and kill his son. Similarly, although the Krishna conscious movement and Krishna are not different, and no asuras can check it, we are afraid that at any moment the asuras could stop this movement in any part of the world. Wonderful purport. Ayam tvasabhyastava janvana grage shudishvara sate vitaram purushai samarpitam shudvandunayava vishara shudai yutaha. So om ganat suvidanda shalganam jala shalakaya chakshu unminitam yena tasmai shikarve namaha. So let's try to understand the difference between civilization and people who are not civilized, uncivilized people. So the difference is, or at least the description of uncivilized people is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Rishabhadev. Actually, very interesting verses in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yadindriya pritya apranoti. So uncivilized men consider the satisfaction of their senses to be very, very important. Nunam pramata. They become pramada, or pramata, which means still more mad. Kurute, vikarma. They commit vikarmic activities. Vikarmic activities are activities in opposition to the Vedic injunctions. Activities which give you a bad result. Bhagavad Gita describes there's vikarma, karma, and akarma. For those of you who don't know, little Bhagavad Gita lesson. Vikarma means things that send you to Yamaraj for punishment. Akarma means Krishna conscious activities, things that have no karma or no results in them. And just the plain old word karma in this particular context means activities that are in accordance with the karma conscious sections of the Vedas, which means gives you a good result. You go to the heavenly planets, you can enjoy, you become rich. Like in many cases, devotees, not devotees of course, people here in Fiji, they try to perform these karmic activities in order to elevate themselves. Now it's very interesting that sometimes people in the Krishna conscious movement call people who are not devotees karmis. It's not really precise. Usually it's vikarmis or kukarmis. Means bad karma, you know, kukarma or vikarma. And some of them may be karmis, I mean maybe 1 millionth of them, who are vegetarians and following a few simple rules and regulations of the Vedic injunctions. But mostly they're vikarmis. So the point is that uncivilized means acting like animals. Also, Lord Rishabhadev says in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Nayam Deho Deha Bhajan Riloke Kashnam Kama Arate Vidbhujam Ye Devo Devyam Puchuka Yena Shatvam Chudya Diyasmad Brahma Shoka Chwanantam. A very interesting verse about the definition between civilized and uncivilized, or human beings who act like animals and human beings who act like human beings. He says, my dear sons, he's actually addressing his sons. He has 100 sons, quite a bit. Krishna had more sons. Does anyone know how many sons Krishna had?
Each wife had 10 sons.
Each wife had 10, so do the mathematics. 16,108 times 10. 160,000. Anyway, so he had 10 sons. And they, does anyone know who the chief son of Maharaj Vrishabhadev was? Bharat, yeah, that's right. And so he was instructing his sons, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajam Riloka, you've taken a human body, which is very rare. Also, Lord Maharaj says, Durlabham Janmana, the one taking a human birth is very rare. It's very rare to be a human being. For example, there's more lower creatures in this room than human beings, and I'm not criticizing any of you by saying that, because there's more bugs and microscopic creatures in this room than there are devotees or human beings. So, Nayam Deha Deho Bhajam Riloke. It's been very difficult. You've taken a human body. Kashtam Kamham Arate Vidbhujam Ye. So you shouldn't act like these stool eaters. That's what a hog is called in Sanskrit. Vidbhujam Ye. Because what do the hogs do? The hogs just, anyway, eat, sleep, make, and defend. It's typical Krishna conscious philosophy. Vidbhujamya tapo divyam. Here's the interesting point. Tapo divyam. You should execute transcendental austerity. Utraka yena sattvam. Shudyat yasvad ramashokya chvanantam. In this way you will actually become happy by executing austerity. So what is that austerity that makes us a human being? Is it sleeping on a bed of nails? No. Is it torturing the body? Because Krishna says in the Gita that those who torture the body are demons. So if you engage in too many physical austerities, especially for political purposes, like Prabhupada commented about politicians who fast, we should not mention their names, then you're considered a demon. So what is this austerity that we're supposed to perform? Well, it's very easy. These austerities, or the austerity that we're supposed to perform, is the austerity of accepting everything favorable for serving Krishna and rejecting everything unfavorable for serving Krishna. That's the austerity. When Lord Vrishabhadev mentions tapo, divyam, transcendental austerities, he's not referring to just like torturing the body or doing something that's very difficult, but basically doing something that pleases Krishna. And in this way, he says, you'll be happy. So that's it. Krishna conscious austerities are happy. So how do we know what to do and what not to do as far as our austerities are concerned? We have Shastra, we have Guru, and we have Sadhu. And we should guide ourselves in that particular way. Just like, I'll give you an example of my own particular life. You know, things get a little austere. But then I'm thinking, what would Prabhupada want? That's the austerity. I may want this, I may want that. Even in Krishna's service, you know, I may think, I may want something. But then Krishna reveals to me that Prabhupada would want me to do this, so I just do that. In other words, that's how you conquer the mind. People ask all the time, how can you conquer the mind? Chanchala yamana Krishna. Pramati balavadridam. Tashaham nigraham manye. The mind is what? Restless, turbulent, obstinate, more difficult than controlling what? You control it through the intelligence, and the intelligence is fixed upon the order of the spiritual master and the Vedic conjunctions. That's all. That's mentioned also in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Yavasayatmakebhudhabhudhir ekehaguru nandana. One point in intelligence. So by this intelligence, if one can actually control these impulses born of the mind, manashashtani, indriyani, prapatishtani, karshati, of the mind and senses, then one can actually, first of all, be happy and be a human being. And one can actually conquer Krishna. That's the amazing thing. Krishna, that's the final point in when we're talking about surrender to Krishna. It's the means of controlling Krishna. If one can conquer the senses in the mind, and of course of all the senses, the tongue is what? Most voracious and uncontrollable. And so, Atakshri Krishna Namani Nabhavet Krayamindriya Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Nevas Purachada. If you can serve Krishna, if you can conquer the tongue, then you can actually understand your real spiritual identity. This is actually an interesting verse. Atakshri Krishna Namani Nabhavet Krayamindriya Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayamevas Virachana. So that's Krishna consciousness, making your intelligence very strong, and then you won't be an animal. Because that's what distinguishes an animal from a human being. Not that someone who's wearing a dhoti is necessarily a human being. You can put a dhoti on a dog, but it's not going to make a human being. Tilak on a dog, or neck beads on a dog. It's actually a funny picture if you picture a dog with tilak and babies. And you can give them a spiritual name too. Yeah. I was just at someone's house and they gave the dog a spiritual name. That's all right, because in that way, every time you cry out for the dog, you're chanting Krishna's name. It's like a Jamil. Jamil was crying out, Narayan, 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 referred to his son. Someone else is crying, calling his dog Narayan. Narayan, come here. Narayan, let me pick up the stool or whatever. It's not that. But at least they're chanting the name of Narayan. So what makes a devotee is one who is actually controlling them. His mind, vacho, vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara, pashta vegam. Controlling everything with the intelligence. So anyway, that's the first point here. That's the difference between civilized and uncivilized. And of course, Kamsa here, our friend Kamsa, he considered basically his satisfaction to be most important. He was ready to do all these sinful activities, which go completely against Vedic civilization. There's another point Prabhupada makes here in the purport. That cows, women, children, old people, and brahmanas are not protected, that's not Vedic civilization. And of course we see it in the world today. There's so many wars going on, and they're attacking all these different entities. Women, children, old men, of course not too many brahmins around. Of course, in the country of Ukraine, we have about 15,000, 20,000 devotees, so there must be a few Brahmins around too. So, that's Vedic civilization, cow protection, protecting the ladies, protecting the old people, etc. So, that's the first point here. If someone has uncontrolled senses, they'll do all these sinful activities. Another point here is that our Krishna consciousness movement is sometimes put into difficulty. Prabhupada here, when he is writing this purport, is making reference to the Bombay Project, which is called Mumbai right now. How the Bombay Project was attempted to be destroyed by Mr. Nair and Mrs. Nair. Some of you may have read about this. And in fact, at one particular juncture, they sent the municipal bulldozers and people meant to destroy the temple. And they were tearing down the temple around the deities and dragging the pujaris away. But what happened is that this particular situation was not successful for the demons. This particular situation helped our movement even more, because it made us very, very popular, and we won popular support, and ultimately we were able to conquer these demons. And actually even this demon, Mr. Nair, Prabhupada was very happy when he died. Prabhupada probably had a feast or something like that. He said Krishna has killed him because, just like in the Vedic injunctions, that if you have a poisonous snake, it's all right to kill a poisonous snake. So Prabhupada compared him to a poisonous snake. So Prabhupada is making reference, and therefore we're going to find so many situations like this where we are threatened, challenges, etc., like that. And a devotee, when we come across situations like this, we should not see them as problems, but as opportunities and challenges. Because Krishna will ultimately be successful. However, although Prabhupada here said, the Krishna conscious movement and Krishna are not different, no asuras can check it, but there is one thing that can check the progress of our movement, and that's Vaishnava Aparada and the devotees fighting each other. Because if the devotees cooperate, Krishna's presence is manifest. And if the devotees fight and commit offenses against each other, especially, it's all right to have differences of opinion, but when we engage in ad hominem attacks, ad hominem means personal attacks, it's all right. I say, of course, I have the right to check the chest. But let's say there's not, let's say we're just ordinary problems. Which would be nice to be a problem. So I have some disagreement. Swoop says, I think we should offer a lot of the deities. And he says, I think we should offer a lot of judgments. And so we're having this disagreement, which is fine. Differences of opinion are nice. We're individuals. We have free will. But when it gets to the point where I say to Sumukha, you disagree with me, personally, in a personal way, then that is Vaishnava Aparada. And that will actually result in the halting of. Really important to understand that love is you lose Krishna's anymore. Therefore, Prabhupada, interestingly, and I've mentioned this before in several of my papers that I've written. BC, when they meet, what's that? Unity and diversity. Some people are going to become conservative. Some people are going to be liberal. You understand? Liberal, conservative. Internet keeps going off. But to denigrate people, to criticize them is not here in Ding, wherever we are, we should appreciate everybody's individual offering of devotion to Krishna and not engage in that. This movement will go on and increase exponentially. Exponentially means, you know, 2 times 2 is 4, 4 times 2 is 8, 8 times 2 is 16, 16 times 2 is 32. I'm giving an example. Exponentially is different than arithmetically. Arithmetically is 1 plus 1 equals 2 plus 1 equals 3 plus 1 equals 4 plus 1 equals 5. So this movement will expand dynamically if we actually appreciate each other and love each other. Prabhupada also stated in the Nectar of Instruction, in his purport to this famous verse, Dadati Pratikradati Guyamakyati Prichati Bhonte Bhojite Chaiva. The Vaishnavas engage in loving exchanges, like, you know, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing the mind in confidence, that means no talking, and hearing from others. So Prabhupada said, that is how our movement goes on and is increasing because of those loving exchanges. People will be attracted in unlimited numbers to our movement if devotees love each other. Not in a sentimental way, but see each other as brothers and sisters and parts and parcel of Krishna. I mean, we're supposed to see everybody as part and parcel of Krishna, right? Mami vamsa jiva lohe jiva bhuta sanatana. Isn't it? Ham bija pradapita. Krishna's everyone's father. So at least we should see the devotees as our brothers and sisters. But actually we should love everybody as our brothers and sisters, but especially the devotees. And then having such a loving mood between the devotees will attract the whole world to Krishna consciousness, and our movement will never be stopped. So don't be like Kamsa in the guise of a devotee. Because Kamsa was just concerned with himself. So don't be just concerned with yourself. Try to appreciate everyone else's dedication and devotion to Srila Prabhupada and the Krishna consciousness movement. Okay, so any questions or comments? Keep it short. Questions, comments? Arguments? Consult your authorities. It depends. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. To eclipses, to Rahu, to Ketu. However, if we're in a particular culture, we have to understand that if we do certain things, we will not be respected. So it's a balancing of those two priorities. You know, yes, like we say, what does it say about Krishna's holy names? Niyamena Tishtan. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting Krishna's name. So one has to balance that, and devotional service is transcendental. One has to balance that with the culture that you're preaching in. That's all. Understand who's around you, what they'll talk. You know, if we do something that's culturally inappropriate, even if spiritually it's appropriate, then we're going to lose people. So sometimes we have to do things. I mean, like there's certain ceremonies that are not necessary for a Vaishnava to do. And some of the aspects of Pinda and everything like that are not necessary. Because if you're a devotee, you're already liberating 10 generations of your family. Right? I don't want to do anything. My mother passed away, I didn't do Pinda for her, I just chant Hare Krishna. But she's not from Indian culture. If she was from Indian culture, I would do the pinda and all the other things too. Because my relatives wouldn't. Of course, all my relatives are dead, so it's not a problem. When you're my age, you don't have to worry about relatives. Because they're all dead. They all wanted me to leave the Krishna consciousness movement. But where are they now? Because of my Krishna consciousness, they're probably in the heavenly planets right now, enjoying with Indra. Maybe some of them are observers. So anyway, so but if I was born in a different culture, and the relatives were still there, and my mother passed away, yes, then definitely I would do all these different rituals. Because otherwise, I and the movement would get criticized. So, it's a balance. Actually, preaching is the essence, purity is the force, utility is the principle. So you got to balance all these things that Prabhupada talked about. So, books are the basis. Alright, so you probably have these four different points, right? So you got to balance it. Utility is the principle. But utility you can't take it to such an extent that you're burning people out or doing things that are culturally inappropriate. I hope that addresses your question. So it's a judgment call. What you do during the Kadasi, and not a Kadasi, during the Khotan, when there was this eclipse, and all the residents of Vrindavan, the people from all over India, went to Kurukshetra during the eclipse. And during the eclipse, they were all chanting Krishna's name. At least Krishna was there. So it was even Krishna's name. And that's it. Krishna was there. It's a judgment call. I don't want to give a strict injunction as to what one should do, but be aware of the culture that you're in. Like, I definitely present Krishna consciousness differently according to the different cultures that I'm in. It's just practical. For example, I'm doing a lot of university outreach. I don't even use the word preaching in the Western world. Because preaching has a very heavy connotation to it. It means, you rascal, surrender to Krishna. You're going to become a dog, a hog, a camel, or an ass. Because you're not worshiping Krishna. You're eating meat. You're going to become a cow in your next life. You know, so that's preaching. Sharing Krishna consciousness means, are you interested in hearing about Krishna? And someone will say yes. And if they say no, okay. So, I think it means being culturally sensitive, like that. Obviously, Krishna's not just transcendental, but sometimes we're not so transcendental. Sometimes we say, "Oh, I'm a devotee, I'm transcendental," but you may not be devoted. What does it mean to be a devotee? A devotee is someone who is devoted. So if you're really that devotee, you would be transcendental. For example, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur one time fed or allowed one of his disciples to eat rice on the Kadasi so he could preach and have the energy to preach. But that's a transcendental thing. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't allow someone to do that. So, not to be practical. Okay, good question. And I avoided a difficult answer. So, who else has a question? Should we let someone online ask a question? Should we be merciful to those online? Oh, what if someone, here's someone who asked a question online. What if someone how do I understand about this? Where a devotee who's close to your association speaks roughly to other devotees, criticizes and questions the level of devotion of other people publicly. What should my behavior be? And what qualities should I demonstrate in this scenario? I think you need to talk to the devotees and you're hurting your spiritual life by criticizing other devotees. Because that, if I could think of, if I could mention anything that displeases Krishna more, there's nothing that displeases Krishna more than offending devotees. Nothing. Nothing. It's offending devotees is even worse than eating meat. It's worse than eating meat. Because when you offend a devotee, then you lose a taste for hearing and chanting. It's probably the worst thing. So, alright. So, you have to help that devotee. Of course, they may just get angry with you. Upadesho mimorganam pratapaya dashantiye. Sometimes you give someone good instruction, it just makes them angry. So then, basically, I just walk away from the situation. I just say, I don't want to hear anything negative about any devotee. Please, let's talk about something else, like rugby. Yeah. It's better to talk about rugby than to talk about another devotee in a negative way. Sure. So you have this rugby match today, all right? I was in the airplane coming here, and the team was there. They were not so bad. They were nice to me. So yeah, talk about something mundane, but don't criticize a Vaishnava. So, any other questions? Yeah. Chuta.
So this is about the channel of communication with it. We have our Guruji and then also Rupa Visa on the Acharya.
Right.
Sometimes we bypass them and we coach the Prabhupada, you know, bypass the DBC University. So what is the proper procedure?
Bible. We can always quote Prabhupada. I mean, there's no problem. Prabhupada's had our ultimate shiksha. We don't have to go to the guru for every instruction, you know. We have Prabhupada's books. And we just, as long as we understand that by our guru's mercy, we're getting instruction from Prabhupada. I mean, of course, disagreeing with the guru is a different thing. That's one of the offenses, not chanting. Just like, for example, I sometimes read the books as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Shri Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But I understand it's by Prabhupada's mercy I'm able to have a right consciousness. I'm able to read these books. Not that I'm thinking, oh, now I'm finding out something that Prabhupada didn't know or didn't tell me. Wow. Now I know how to be a devotee. That's why I was in Maya the whole time. Because I didn't know what my Siddha Rupa was. It's interesting. Siddha Rupa means eternal spiritual body. And that means stepping over the head of the spiritual master. Just like, when Prabhupada was present, sometimes devotees would go to Radha Kund, and one of the Babaji's would attract them by saying, I can tell you who you are in the spiritual world. And of course, that's attractive. I mean, we all want to go to the astrologers and hear about ourselves, isn't it? People love astrology for that reason. Oh, tell me all about myself. And nowadays, in addition to astrology, people have this analysis of their genetic analysis. Where you take, you probably don't have that here in Fiji, where you take a little swab from your cheek and you send it into a laboratory and they tell you who your great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, great-great-grandmother, and then you find out that you are coming from the jungles of PNG, you know. That you discover that you're not a pure Hindu anymore, so... genealogy, it's called. So people like to hear about themselves in these, you know, the horoscopes like that. So basically we just want to hear about Krishna. That's the main thing. And the main point I'm making here is that we should appreciate each and every devotee who's trying their best to serve Krishna, and they just have different angles of vision. So, any other questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, say, oh, everyone's offering obeisances here. Online, no questions. Oh, Ekadasi. Is it true that on Ekadasi day, if one happens to go to a funeral, is doomed to hell? That was a big shock to me because I went there and I went to hell. So, what if someone passes away on Ekadasi, which is considered various? Anyway, there's so many things. If you chant Hare Krishna, you're not going to hell. And you can't control when someone's going to pass away, whether they pass away in Ekadasi or an eclipse or anything like that. But if a devotee is transcendental to all these time, place, and manner restrictions. Niyamena tishtan. So I don't worry about these things. I mean, if someone's funeral and they're a devotee, I'll go to it on Ekadasi or the Purana. Any day. You know, just can't get into all these rituals. Although, if it's someone's culture, I respect it. I won't criticize their culture. I mean, there's one devotee in a different country, not Fiji, who was supposed to take initiation from me, and this devotee, I'm not going to tell you who it was, couldn't take it for many years because I was always coming to the country that this devotee was at during Pitapaksh and Devapaksh. So that went on for like 10 years, basically. Devotee's chanting, when are you going to give me a guru, initiation guru? Right now? No, I can't take initiation now. Because it's Pitapaksh. Pitapaksh. Can you come at a different time of the year, Guru Maharaj? Can you take a special flight from America just to come to see me? I said, I can't control these things. So the point is that if one could take initiation, one should take it when it's available. Don't worry about the time, place, and circumstance. Okay, no more questions from the devotees online. I think we'll end now. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.